turn now for our message this morning to 1 John, the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 4. I'm going to look at verses 7 to 11. 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Let us hear God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. For this is manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, beloved. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. May the Lord bless his word. The title for this morning's message is Knowing the God of Love. Knowing the God of Love. And these passages very much deal with knowing God through showing love. We live in a culture today that is, we could say, obsessed with celebrity and seeking some kind of identity for themselves, some kind of group to belong to and almost follow religiously, it seems. But what if I was to tell you that my favorite singer was a man named Bob, but I couldn't name anything about the singer's albums, any of the lyrics? And when you questioned me on it, I didn't seem to be that interested in it. Sadly, that seems to be what's happening today in our culture. We want to seem okay on social media, Facebook, and other things. And if you have no idea what those things are, praise the Lord. But often we want to put on a face, and we want to present ourselves as something we're not. If you didn't know anything about a certain person, do you really like that specific singer? And what if I was to say to you, my role model was John Calvin, the famous Reformed theologian. But I couldn't tell you anything he ever wrote. And I was actually, if I ever did learn anything about him, I would constantly complain about him and tell you all the things that he'd gotten wrong and seemingly have little time for what he actually got right. Or perhaps somebody more modern, somebody like R.C. Sproul or someone like that. Would you really think that you were an admirer or that you were, for want of a better word, a fan, if someone spoke of someone in that way? Or perhaps your parents. Somebody asks, oh, I love and I respect and admire my parents. But your life and everything you do seems to be how different you can be to your parents and how you almost take pleasure in being as different from them as possible. These are some examples of how what we profess to believe and what we say that we love and admire perhaps can be betrayed by our actions and by our lack of knowledge. And the world is filled with such, sadly, such fraud. We want to present ourselves in a certain way. Not only do we fail to follow God in our modern age, sadly, we even fail at following the men we claim to follow. Now, following man is not a good thing. We should follow God. But what does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to truly know God? And does it impact your life? Does it impact your life? We often treat religion and Christianity, well, that's just something, that's just your opinion. And almost as if it's something that has no bearing on how you live, the choices you make, where you send your children to be educated, and all these things. Does it impact the way we live? What does it mean to know the God who is love? Who is love? And can we really claim to know this God if we ourselves don't love? We're going to look at these verses now in 1 John chapter 4 under these four headings. Number one, love's character. Number two, love's sacrifice. Number three, love is initiated. And number four, love's reason. Love's reason. Number one, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And very simply, what does it mean to be loving? What is love? There's popular song lyrics that will say things like, all you need is love. But what is love? God is love. His very character is love. Here it is. Almost seems too simple. But in order to know love, we need to know God. We need to know God. If you don't know God, how can we claim to know what it means to be loving? This is what, in these verses, this is what it looks like to know God. What it looks like to know God. Outwardly, the fruit of our life, to be like Him. Are we like God? And if we are like God, if we know God, surely we will be a more loving people. It is the fruit of someone, it says in verse 7, born of God. Someone born of God, born from on high, born again. As Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verily, verily, you must be born again. John the Apostle, who is writing this epistle under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, exhorts God's people here, and he says, love one another. Love one another. And he gives the reason for this. For God, for love is of God. And we have to remind ourselves of what this love means, because it seems so simple. Somebody asks you, do you love someone in your family? You're not likely going to just say, no. But what does that love, what does true love look like? The reason for we are to be like God. We are to be imitators. We are to follow God. Is there a way to summarize, to condense down what that love is, that character of who God is, and our responsibility to Almighty God? And there is. And we find it all the way back in the Old Testament. Places like Exodus chapter 20. In the middle of the Ten Commandments, written by the finger of God, it says this. God says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And you're going to notice this throughout the scriptures. Commandment keeping and love are not at opposite ends of the spectrum. They go hand in hand together. What does love look like? Keeping God's commandments, because the commandments are the very character, the very nature of who God is. The first four commandments talks about a love for God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's commandments 1-4. It's summarized like that again in the New Testament. And the second table, commandments 5-10, commandment 5 saying, honor your father and your mother. All the way to commandment 10, it talks about a love for our neighbor. But this is what love is. This is what love is. We're talking about the abortion and the proposed change in the abortion laws. And one of the commandments, the sixth commandment, is, thou shalt not kill. It shows a lack of love for our neighbor, the unborn in the womb. We are to be loving. To be like God is to be loving. And when we see our society turning from God, they will also, at the same time, turn from the law of God. There's no such thing as a church that is faithful to God that has no time for God's law and just thinks, well, it's all of grace. The law doesn't matter. Yes, we are not saved by the law. Another has kept the law in our place, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But at the same time, a person who cares nothing for the law of God cares nothing for God himself. Someone who loves, let's put it like this, the more loving you are, the more obedient you are to God. And the more obedient you are to God, the more loving you are to your neighbor. If someone is born of God. It says, everyone, verse 7, and everyone that loveth is born of God. If someone is God's child, they will be like him. We were talking earlier about being like your parents, and some in this generation, and before I was converted, I was like this too, trying to be as little like your parents as possible, casting aside all the good things that they taught you. But there's always a sense in which we're like our parents. There might be certain little habits that we will carry on, little things that your mother or father will do, and you don't realize you do it up until you've left the house 10 or 20 years, or even when you're a parent yourself, there will be some way someone will look at you and say, aha, you are a child of this person. You can just tell that you will be like them in some way. Not completely, and that's not an excuse for our bad behavior, just to follow our parents, but we will be like them. We will be like them in some respect. Especially if we respect them, especially if we love them. But what does it mean to be born of God? God is our Father, and we will be like him. And because we've been born of God, if we've been born of God, we have a new nature, a new heart that loves the things of God and hates sin. That must also be put in there. Hates sin. If we have a love for God, we're going to have a hatred for the things that attack God. Are we like our Heavenly Father? None of us here today. are perfectly like our Heavenly Father, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fail, even this very day. We've all thought things so wicked, we wouldn't like to share it with anybody. This, sadly, is our nature. Even as children of the King, but have we been changed? Perhaps you were saved at a young age. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and you don't remember that first time when you began to believe. Maybe you were regenerated in the womb, perhaps. The question is not, when did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? The question is, do you love Him today? And are you being changed and conformed day after day in conformity to His image? That is the question. Do you love Him today? Because to be loving is to love the very character that is love. Anything else would be quite absurd. Do we have that new nature in Christ? When we're in union with Christ, joined with Christ, so that we hunger and thirst after things that are good for us. If that is true, and you are born again of the Spirit of God, dear Christian, let us love, John writes. Beloved, he's speaking tenderly to these Christians. Let us love one another. Let us be like Him, is another way of saying it. Let us be like Him. In other parts of the Scripture, it says that, be holy. What's the reason? For I am holy. The more we are like Him, the more we know Him. The more we know Him. Verse 8 says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. If you don't love, if you have no love in your heart, you don't know God. And they go hand in hand with each other. And it's not a maybe. If you are born of God, you will love. Now, some more and some less. Not everyone's walk with Christ is the same. And we should never compare ourselves with others. We should compare ourselves with the Word of God, with the law of God. But if we don't love, if we don't keep His commandments, then sadly we don't know God. This is not a works religion. This is not a works religion. This is speaking about those whom God has shown mercy upon and brought them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, changing them. Has God changed you? To be like Him. To be like Him. To know Him who is loving. Do you know Him? This is the question that you must take away with yourself. Do you know Him? And the Christian who knows Him and is reassured by, especially 1 John here, will grow in assurance. Yes, I know Him. I'm His and He is mine. Do you know His character? Number 2. Loves sacrifice. Or loves sacrifice. Or another way of love costs. There's a cost. We might say at this point, yes, I know God. Yes, I love Him. Absolutely. Completely. I love my neighbor. We might be able to think of many nice things we do. But do we know the expression, talk is cheap? It says in verse 9 here, in this was manifested or shown the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Here is the expression or manifestation or demonstration of the love of God. And what's that demonstration he talks about? God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now, we've read that so many times, have we not? That it's almost, we almost say it without thinking about what it truly, truly means. We're in danger of doing that with many parts of the scripture. He not only has given us his law, he has demonstrated and shown his love toward us. Much more than talk, God shows us. And he owes us nothing, brethren. He owes us nothing. Oh, the depths of the mercy and the riches of Almighty God. Now, the one question we have to ask here, looking at this verse, is love easy? Is love an easy thing to do? Is love something that will not cost you anything? And we're not just talking money. It may cost you your time. It may cost you some of your peace. It may cost you many, many things. It may even cost you your life. Is true love easy? And we have to say, going throughout the scriptures, no. True love is not easy. It is sacrificial. It is sacrificial. It costs you something. For God the Father, this love shown towards us cost his Son. Can we think of anything more precious, more dear, more beloved, more closer to the Father's heart than his beloved Son? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We read earlier from Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. And we read that story of Abraham being told to offer up Isaac. And I remember years ago reading that for the first time, just, it's like, what? It's a shocking story, is it not? And it's one of the themes that's in the verses. Abraham, do you love me even more than your own son? Your only begotten son. The heir to your kingdom. The heir to the promises. Do you trust me? Somebody asks, would you be willing to sacrifice your own son? Maybe there was a war going on or something like that. I think most of us would much rather send ourselves than send our only children. And not only that, if we look at the example of Abraham and Isaac earlier as we read it, how many years did Abraham wait before Isaac came? If you know anybody who's had to wait years and years to have children, and perhaps they only have one, how precious, how much of a joy is that one child to that couple? And also, another way to look at this great gift from God. Here is the Father and the Son, and they have enjoyed perfect fellowship and relationship from all eternity. Perfect love shared between each of them. This is the manifestation of the love of God toward us. It cost his only begotten Son. Can we think of anything more difficult to give up? Praise the Lord that Abraham trusted the loving God. And we know from Genesis 22 verses 1 to 19 that God provided another way. He provided the lamb. But showing Abraham this love is sacrificial. It costs. He was willing to choose God over his only child. Are we? God before everything else. Everything. Everything you hold dear. Is there anything we're not willing to part with for God? For our neighbor? Not only does it costs sometimes dearly. And then we have to ask ourselves at this point is, what does it cost you to follow Christ? What does it cost you to follow Christ? Because, as Spurgeon once wrote, that religion which costs a man nothing is usually worth nothing. And there's encouragement, brethren, in the scriptures for those who have lost so much for their stand for Christ. There is reassurance, there is encouragement, there are blessings that the money of this world or anything else you've had to give up is far greater in Christ Jesus. Number three, love initiated by God. Love initiated by God. Verse number 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not only does it cost, but do you ever find this? We usually want someone else to initiate the love. I don't want to help him. Now, he's been mean to me. He said something nasty to me the other day. No. It's very easy to be loving to the people we like. Much easier. To the people who've done us a favor. But how about to the people who've hurt us deeply? We want someone else to initiate it. And then, oh yes, we will be loving toward them back. Again, brethren, is true love easy? No. Not at all. None of this is easy. None of this is easy. Actually, without the Spirit of God, it is impossible. How many churches are often ripped apart, not because of doctrine, often, but because of grudges. But because of gossip, because of slander, because of, he said this to me 5 years ago, I can't believe he did that to me. And you've never reconciled. How about God toward us? How about God toward us? How much more do our sins offend a holy and righteous God who never did anything to deserve it? Was there anything in us that caused Him to love us? Was there anything that God looked upon us and said, yes? No, there was nothing in us. And why did He show mercy upon us? Known only to God. There's nothing within us. For we do not deserve the least of God's mercies. We don't deserve anything but the wrath of God. But He set His love upon us and chose us. He set His love upon us. He initiated love toward us while we were rebels. While we were rebels. We do not even seek after God. You know, it is one thing to help somebody who wants to be helped. When God saved us, we never sought Him out. He changed our hearts and brought us to Him so that we would seek what is good, what is holy, what is true and just in Him. We turn to Romans chapter 5 briefly. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 to 8. To show and about this love initiated. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing within us. And it says in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. It's even for somebody who's righteous, even somebody who didn't deserve it, to think that somebody would stand in the place and die and sacrifice themselves for a righteous man. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Christ died for criminals. Christ died for rebels. Christ died for people who spat upon his face and who rebelled against him. It's an incredible thing as we look into the depths of the love of God. Yes, we may see the blackness of our sin, but we also see the shining of the brightness of the stars shining through in the love of God. Herein is love, as John writes. Herein is love, as John writes in verse 10 of our text. It doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just initiate. Love, patterned after God, who is love, provides. Provides for genuine needs. Genuine needs. In verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He covered us. He showed us mercy. If we read in the Westminster Confession of Faith, there are two things allowed on the Sabbath. Works of necessity and works of mercy. Mercy. We are to show mercy. Mercy is seeing someone in their need. In their need, real need. And meeting them at that. Somebody has no food and they're starving and you give them food. That is an act of mercy. Somebody has fallen down, is injured, and you help them up. That is an act of mercy. What was our need that Christ met? He became, it says, the propitiation for our sins. We were under God's wrath, in need of grace, in desperate need of grace, in need of a substitute to bear our punishment. See, God cannot turn away and say, I'm going to ignore sin. All sin, every sin, must be punished. And the question is, did Christ drink down the wrath of God? Did he satisfy justice in your place? Or will you, for all eternity? And the thing about it is, the reason why hell is for eternity is because you can never fully atone for your sins. And your sins are an infinite value against the God of infinite worth. We needed someone to stand in our place to satisfy the demands of the law, to be the propitiation for our sins. What is that? The wrath-appeasing sacrifice. That sweet smelling savor, that sweet smelling aroma before God, no longer a stench, a foul stench before the nostrils of God, but being pleasant and pleasing before him. Because of Christ's work, because of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, God can now delight in us. And Christ Jesus has provided for us in our great need. Oh, the mercy of God. This is why, brethren, we will never outgrow in our study of the gospel. Every single day, we should mine the scriptures to say, Lord, what will you show me today of your gospel? Of the marvelous and mighty gospel. this love initiated by Christ, graciously covered our sins and clothed us from our shame and our guilt, just like God did with our first parents, Adam and Eve. Killed the first animal sacrifice and clothed them. Their attempts to clothe themselves with fig leaves were futile and pathetic. But God truly covers. He provides the grace needed. What an act of love. What an act of love. It's quite an example to follow, isn't it? It's daunting because God is so amazing and so loving. But the standard never, ever changes. We never attain to that standard, but that does not mean we say, well, I can't meet that standard, so just ignore it. There's a sense in which, brethren, we live idealistically. That is the standard we ever set before our eyes, the love of God. That is what we attain to do. However, we also live realistically. We fail. We sin. Daily. Minute by minute. Even this very service, we sin. Do we follow the example of Christ? And I mean things like, do we see our brother in need? Do we seek out how to be loving to others? That we're actively going, who can I help? Who needs help? Or do we go, nope, don't see it today. Let somebody else will take care of that. Do we seek out to be loving to others? Do we initiate that love and not only initiate it, provide for others' needs? Will we be merciful? Will we be loving to show that we know God? Brethren, let us show the world that we know God. Not in a proud, arrogant, I'm fantastic kind of sense, but that we actually know Him. How much of the world looks upon professing Christianity and says, they don't act anything like the Christ of the Bible. Number four, and final point. Love's reason. Love's reason. And this verse, verse 11, leaves us without excuse. You have this reason, why do we love? Why do we love? Beloved, verse 11, it says, if God so loved us, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Do you see these people around you today? Look around you. These are the people we are to love. Not the people who are easy to get on with. We're all difficult to get on with at times, aren't we? We all have good days, we all have bad days. But we are to love one another. We are to think the best possible of one another. Because I guarantee you, brethren, if you think the best possible of one another, gossip would be eliminated. Slander would be gone. And I tell you, grudges wouldn't last too long. How much have we offended God? And yet, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If God, who is holy, the perfection of holiness, without sin, without owing us anything, loved us sinners, criminals before Him, how much ought we to love Him? How much? And really, what excuses remain at this point? What pain have others caused you? What offense have we caused God? What wrong have they done you? How much more have we wronged God? Far more has been done to Christ. Far more has been done to Christ. Christ has been mocked, slandered, gossiped about, violently attacked. What has been done to you? Show love one to another. Love one another. And he even was killed. He came into his own and his own received him not. Even bearing the wrath of God for us, his bride. This is the only reason we need. In conclusion, are you loving? Are you loving? And the thing about it is, when we examine the scriptures, it doesn't give us ways to escape. Are we loving? These concrete examples of what it means to be loving. Does this resonate in your life? Are there places where we can work on? Of course, there are all places we can work on. How do you know? What has it cost you to follow Christ? What has it cost you to be loving toward your neighbor? And if you are not loving, why? Do you know God? Have you been born of God? Do you seek out as Christ did to show love? You're the one initiating it. You're the one seeking out to see who needs help. Or do we make excuses? I'm too busy. I have this on. Do we make excuses for not being loving toward one another? We are to love after God's character. We are to love sacrificially. We are to love undeservedly, because it's not that they're earning it from you. So if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. May the Lord enable us this day to be changed and challenged by His love. By His love, so that we may know Him better. Amen.